Good morning. Always good to see everyone. So good to be in this place worshiping together as the family of God. It always feels kind of like a reunion every time we come. That's why it's hard to get everybody to leave. It's because you guys love each other and you talk to each other. And I think that is just really beautiful fruit of this community. Aren't you glad that God is faithful? We just sing that song all my life. He's been faithful. God is faithful. Even in the storms, even when it seems dark, God is faithful. This message this morning reminds us of that as we look at this next section in the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. So open your Bibles to chapter 6 in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. What a beautiful picture that Christ has laid out for us on where our eyes should be focused as we've looked at that the last couple of weeks. And if you look at verse 19, as we kind of remind ourselves where we've been, as this all kind of flows together in context, as this picture that God has laid out for us, where should our eyes be focused? Starting in verse 19, we see this incredible challenge that Christ has exhorted us to have in order to have a clear vision. We are to not have a cloudy vision, but we are to have a clear vision. How do we have that clear vision? We look back at verse 19, which says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." Our vision gets cloudy when our vision is centered on the stuff of this earth. But what he calls us to in verse 20, he says, "But do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Those are those eternal things, those things that will not be destroyed. And then if you look at verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6, he gives us that statement that we know that we must look at, which says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then he concludes that section of laying up treasures in heaven with verse 24 that we looked at last week, which says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And so we have to, when we look at those verses, when we see the challenge and the commands and what he's called us to, of having a clear vision, of not storing up treasures on earth, but instead looking at the eternal and finding out where our true treasure is, we have to ask ourselves some tough questions. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been asking ourselves, where is our treasure? Is our ultimate treasure found in a relationship with Christ? Because that is the ultimate treasure. And so we start off this sermon, I just ask that question to all of us. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Because if you don't, there will be no peace. If you do not have a relationship with Christ, you can try all the stuff of the earth, but it'll eventually fail you, and there will be no joy. There will be no true happiness. And what you're going to find without a relationship with Christ is a life filled with chaos and anxiety. Are we investing in eternal treasures? And so for the believer, if you say, "Well, yes, Chris, I do have a relationship with Christ. I remember when Christ called me to himself and he saved me and I experienced this incredible grace in my life," but maybe it was a long time ago, or maybe your vision has shifted from the eternal to the worldly, and so we ask ourselves, have we allowed our vision to become cloudy? These are tough questions, of course, because it is very easy to get wrapped up in focusing on stuff, salaries, position, when what Christ is demanding from us and asking us to look at is to look in the mirror and to go to the root of all of that, which is our hearts. Christ desires a heart for him. Even under the law, even when we go back to the Old Testament, when God had called his people, and when they constantly went on that roller coaster of committing to him and living in obedience and then falling away, even under the law, God says, I'm so sick of your routines. I'm so sick of these things that you do that you don't, your heart's not in it. And even though he set those things up, he's always wanted our hearts. Christ desires an obedient heart that loves him, whether we have been blessed with a lot or what maybe we look at ourselves and we think, well, we don't have much. He still wants our hearts. Doesn't matter. He desires a generous heart, obedient to him, seeking his kingdom, investing in the things that last, eternal treasure. And so this morning we continue on in the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe this next passage, this next section, flows so beautifully out of the passage that we were just in over the last couple of weeks about laying up treasures in heaven. It just moves right into this next section. So this next passage in many translations is entitled, Do Not Be Anxious. That's kind of the heading over this section. Or maybe some translations say, Do Not Worry. And I believe in order for these verses to take root in our heart and then bear fruit in our lives, we must continue to go back and look at verses 19 and 21 as our foundation. Okay, so I want these verses on our minds as we think about this next section of not worrying and not being anxious. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Keep that in your heart. Keep that on your mind. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Let those be right over the top of this next section as we look at what it means to not be anxious. We need to let those verses permeate our thoughts and our desires and our hearts. And if we do that, we will begin to truly experience what it means to not be anxious. Do you think this world lives with a constant anxiety? You think? Yeah. We think we have it all together until something really hard happens. And then it just reveals the deep-rooted worry and anxiety and peace because we try to cover it over with things just kind of going okay. These last 2 years have brought out, a little bit of anxiety to people, you think? Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Christ wants our hearts. If we allow these things to begin to truly dig in to our thoughts and our desires and to be who we are, then we're going to be able to experience what it means to not be anxious, to find his peace, which is there. It's right there. Now, if we look at this next section, verses 25 all the way down to 34, I have to be completely honest with you. This next passage is one of the most important passages in my life as a believer. Okay? Now you'll be like, this passage? Yes. And I want to explain why. One of the most important passages in my life, and I've been a believer since I was 8 years old. So let me tell you about why this is so important to me. So I was saved when I was 8 years old. God brought me out of a life of drugs and alcohol and rock and roll. No, not really. I hadn't found rock and roll yet, but and I still struggle with rock and roll to this day. But anyway, but as an eight-year-old kid, I had grown up in the church, and I was a pretty good kid. I was a pretty good kid. But when I was eight, I remember very clearly. I knew I was a sinner. At eight, I could feel God calling me to be his. And I knew Christ was the only one who could save me. I knew that, even as an eight-year-old. As little as I knew about doctrine and theology and all this stuff, I just knew I needed Jesus. He was calling me. And I got saved, got baptized, third grade. But around sixth grade, I began to struggle with worry. And there's a reason for that. I've seen it in my own children. Sixth grade, about that time, our brain starts to develop more. We start to be aware of the world around us. And that's when I became more aware of what was going on around me. And what I began to see was really to understand the brokenness of this world. I didn't really get it all, but I could see that there was brokenness in this world. I could see there was sin, and that stuff began to scare me. I would walk by, I would hear the news of wars and famines and disease, and it really consumed me, and I would take all that in, and then at night lay in my bed and be scared. I worried about every disease that I ever heard about. I worried about losing my family. It was very real to me. But I will never forget the Sunday night that my pastor preached this passage. I'll never forget it. I can still picture the red carpet of the church, the wooden pews, the stained glass windows, right down the street, First Baptist Nakoma Park, where I grew up. But here's what's important. Here's what I want you to understand about this. I don't remember anything my pastor said. And I get that. I understand that. But what I remember was how reading this passage brought peace to my life. I can't explain it, and that is why this passage is so important to my spiritual life, because this was the first time as a young Christian that I realized that God's word is truly alive. I couldn't explain it. I was 11 years old. I didn't know theology and understanding of everything that I believed and why I believed it. I didn't know what some of the words my pastor was saying and how he was explaining this passage, but I remember for the first time in my life that God's word jumped out at me and gave me peace. I couldn't explain it. And that was huge. That was huge in my life. And so I go back to that anytime, realizing that I can always go to God's word and find truth, even though I might not understand everything. It was the first time that I experienced Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I experienced it. Why do you think we constantly say, spend time in this? If you really want truth, if you really want peace, if you really want to know who God is and how much he loves you and all that he's given you and how to live your life, go to God's word. This passage changed my life. Not so much that it just cured me of all worry, because I still worry. I still worry about stuff. But I can go back to that remembering very clearly the peace that really just washed over me from hearing the words of Jesus. So if you're a true believer, you know God's word is truth. You do. You've experienced it. And so I pray over the next couple of weeks that if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with just this struggle with the stuff of this earth and trying to be happy with things and the stuff that is destroyed, and you're just dealing with a constant anxiety, which I know, we'd be lying if we did not say the time we're living in right now is not filled with anxiety. So I pray over the next couple of weeks we will experience the peace that I experienced when I was 11 when reading this passage. Let's read this passage, 25 through 34. We're going to spend 2 weeks in this section, and let's just let God's word speak truth to us this morning. Starting in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is truth, it is alive. I can't talk someone into believing that. They have to experience that, and I know that you are the one that calls people to yourself, that you save, and I pray that if there was anyone here that is feeling the call on their life, that they will be saved today. They will find the peace that you bring. And I pray for those of us that are believers, that know truth, that you will speak powerfully to our hearts this morning, that you will bring peace, because I know everyone in this room has dealt with some kind of anxiety or is struggling with it, even maybe mightily struggling with it right now. God, let us be reminded of who you are, how much you love us, and your truth. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Christ's exhortation. So he's preaching. He's preaching to his followers. And then he's walking through this Sermon on the Mount, and then he gives us this exhortation. He says, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 25. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Let me make one clarification before we start, okay? Before we jump into this, there is a good type of worry out there, okay? There's a healthy worry. So we can't just lump all worry into the bad side. There is a good type of worry, or maybe we should call it concern. We should be concerned about the spiritual well-being of others, okay? We should be concerned about those that do not know Jesus. We should be concerned about each other in the family of God. Paul dealt with heavy anxiety over those that did not know him and the churches that he had helped plant. 2 Corinthians 11:28, he says it very clearly. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. He was worried, and what did he do? He prayed. He prayed for them. He encouraged them. We should be concerned about the spiritual well-being of others. We should be concerned about the hearts of our children. We should be concerned about our church family, our marriages. Those are good things, okay? We should also be concerned with our own hearts and the temptations to sin. We should be concerned about the need to repent from our sin. Those are all good worries, good concerns. The worry that Jesus is talking about in this passage comes from the selfish focus on earthly treasures. Do you see how it all flows together? That's why we preach this way. That's why we don't just take one little thing out of it and just say, here's our topic for the day. This all flows together. The worry that Jesus is talking about in this passage comes from the selfish focus on earthly treasure that he just talked about. We know that because look at the first word. What is the first word in verse 25? Anyone? Therefore. Okay. I was always taught, as I study God's word, when you see the word therefore, you have to ask, what is the therefore there for, okay? There's a reason, because it talks about what came right before. It's like, here's what I tell you, here's what I need you to know, here's what you need to understand, here's the command. Therefore, do these things. It makes sense. We need to know what that therefore is there for. So we always look up to the preceding verses, the preceding passage, and so what do we see here? Again, do not lay up treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and be addicted to money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do we see the progression? Does it make sense? Okay, it just flows. And so in verse 25, Jesus talks about three things: what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. We can kind of lump those into symbolically a whole lot of things in our life. And ultimately, we still today, over 2,000 years after he preached this sermon, we are still worrying about those things, aren't we? We're still worrying about these things. Christ is still, God's word is still on target. in our brokenness, in our sinfulness. We are naturally selfish, and we must continue to fight against this part of our old nature daily. This is just what we have to fight against. And as believers, because we see Scripture and we hear the words of Christ and we want to be obedient, I've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, we naturally swing like a pendulum to the extremes, which is unhealthy. We're like, oh gosh, I shouldn't be worried about money and all this stuff, so we go home and we sell everything. Sorry, kids, we're selling everything. That's not healthy. We're going to start living on $5 a week. That's not really practical. And then the other extreme is we're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to have to worry about this. And you know, it's like, well, maybe we should move into a cave like the monks did back in the day. They didn't worry about anything. They just prayed a lot. And then we swing this way and we go, it's like, well, this teaching sounds really good. If I have enough faith, then God's going to give me wealth beyond measure. And if I don't have enough faith, then that's probably my own fault. That's a false gospel. The health and wealth gospel, that is a false teaching. Don't buy into it. It sounds really good. Oh, it sounds so good, doesn't it? It allows us to just kind of go, oh, I don't have to listen to anything else God says. I just can just focus on getting wealthy and just praying hard. And that's just false. False teaching. God can be my personal vending machine for wealth and stuff. That is just false teaching. Don't listen to it. If you have those books and people are teaching that stuff, just burn them, give them away, whatever, put them in the trash, whatever. Just false teaching. False teaching. Don't listen to it. Because it sure sounds good. It sure gives you kind of a false sense of hope, of peace. And it doesn't last. Because then what happens when you do get sick? What happens when you do lose a job? Then your faith is just shattered. And that is so dangerous, so dangerous. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Jesus did not teach us to despise the pleasures of life, okay? Life more abundant. God gave us, he blesses us with what he's given us. We should enjoy them. Christ did say, however, that if we take our focus off of Christ and allow our focus to become cloudy, and we focus on the temporary and the earthly treasures, there will be anxiety. If you take your eyes off Jesus, if you allow the stuff that this world offers to become everything that brings happiness to you, I promise you, Jesus promises you that there will be anxiety in your life. It's going to happen. And so Christ is teaching us. Christ is commanding us. This would be better just to say tough questions with Jesus right here, okay? Tough questions with Jesus. And he asks the question. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He's asking a tough question to his followers. Again, this is not about money. Money is not evil in itself. You can do a lot of great good with money. Money is not evil. It's our hearts, it's our focus that becomes the problem. We sometimes allow our minds to let the world tell us what is important. And it has become so much more hard today because we have access to everything in the world on our phones, right? And our screens and when I was growing up, we had four channels. Four! NBC, ABC, CBS, and then, we had PBS, that's right. And then Fox came later, you know, kind of when I was in high school, the edgy Fox, 21 Jump Street, stuff like that. It's four channels. I didn't have cable till I was a senior in high school. I've got 72 streaming services, you know. It takes you 6 hours to figure out what you want to watch, what you want to commit to. I mean, I don't know how many shows I started 15 minutes, like, I don't have time for that one. Let's try another one. I mean, we didn't have that problem. It's like, Knight Rider, yeah. Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah. That was Monday and then Tuesday. I mean, you just did. But the problem is, we don't just have that. We have social media. When I had an opinion about something that was probably wrong when I was in high school or college, I would tell my buddy, and he'd be like, "That's stupid." And then he might make fun of me and tell 10 people. And can you believe what Chris thinks about that? Today, I could think of something stupid and type it on Twitter, and it goes out to 100 followers. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And then before you know it, it becomes viral, and it's around the world. I mean, and so we're gathering information about stuff from people that are not experts and people that do this, and we begin to have this weird, crazy worldview because we're not spending much time in here to know truth. We're just listening to all this information that's just streaming into our minds. And so we're allowing the world to shape our understanding of what's important and not God's word. I mean, our country right now, we're experiencing the supply chain problems and all this stuff, and so then the media comes along and is like, "Well, Christmas is going to be ruined." Which prompted this awesome meme that stated basically, you know, if the supply chain problems in our country that we're facing is going to ruin Christmas, then we've obviously have no understanding of what the true meaning of Christmas is, right? But people are out there, it's like, "Oh, Christmas is going to be ruined." You know, I mean, and then we start feeling anxiety about that, right? When we take our focus off of Christ and we put our focus on the stuff of this world, it will always bring anxiety to our lives. And you're probably going, "Oh my goodness, I've got a lot of anxiety." Look in the mirror. Where is your heart? Where is your treasure? What are you seeking after? We need to remember that what Christ says here in this passage basically is, since, you know, Christ is the one that gives us life, since life itself comes directly from God, why should we worry and fret about His giving us the food and drink necessary for life? Why should we worry about not having enough when everything we have comes from Christ? I mean, really, it's amazing. Everyone in this room, we have clothes to wear, right? But what do we worry about sometimes? How many clothes, what kind of clothes, what brands we wear? Most of us in this room, we have plenty to eat. Most of us in this world have plenty, I mean, in this room have plenty to eat. Until you go out of this country, until you go down into some areas that where that's different, you don't know what it's like to not have food. You don't know what that's like. We understand what it means to have plenty to eat, but what do we worry about? We worry about what kind, how often we get to eat out. These are luxuries. If you are a child of God, realize that He gave you life and He will maintain it as long as He wills. If God has given us life, we do not need to be anxious about the little things that we need day by day. And so Jesus, what He does here is he gives us this exhortation, He gives us this counsel: do not be anxious about your life. And then He gives us these illustrations to enforce and explain and encourage based on what He says in verse 25. So we see these illustrations of God's provision in verses 26 through 30. So first we see the example of the birds. Look at verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Anybody a bird watcher? Anybody? I am not, but I think they're really cool. We've got a little book of birds by the back door and a pair of binoculars. I've yet to see anybody take them outside, but maybe my wife. My wife likes, she loves birds. She loves birds. They're awesome. They're really awesome. When we allow verse 26 to sink in, we see the obvious, okay? We see the obvious if you look at what Christ is saying to us. There are millions and millions of birds, and most of them seem pretty healthy. Most of them seem pretty healthy. They seem to live pretty stress-free lives, you know, really. They seem to have everything they need. They don't seem to be suffering from a multitude of stress-related diseases. Why? Because God takes care of them. They're his creation. He takes care of them. So the question that Christ asks us, the question or the idea that the truth that Christ brings out is like, well, if he's doing that for his birds, which are a lower creation than we are, won't God take care of us even more? The obvious meaning is, yeah, he's going to take care of the birds, but the deeper meaning, if we look at it, is how much more will God take care of his higher creation? We are his higher creation. We are God's children. We have been adopted, if you're a believer, into God's family. We have been made in his own image. So how much more will God take care of his children who are over the birds? So, and we look at our anxiety and we're like, oh, so worried. We need to remind that God's taking care of all this other stuff. How much more will he take care of us? Therefore, do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious. And then Christ gives us a warning in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Have you ever worried about something all night long? And then you got up and it was still there. And you're like, man, I'm so tired. I really wish I could have gotten sleep because the problem was still there when you woke up. Really, the best advice that I could give you is when you start to worry, if you're just going to kind of let it go over and over in your mind, you might as well just start praying, right? You might as well pray about it. And I've realized in my life that if I'm going to spend all that time worrying, why not spend all that time praying and allow God's peace to wash over us and allow Christ to begin to clear our minds in giving us wisdom and how to deal with something and giving us that direction, or even just like saying, you just need to back off because I've got this. Whatever it takes, take that time, pray, because you can't add any extra hours to your day. That would be cool if we could, but you can't. Worry takes time away from our life. Worry takes precious time away from our life. I'm entering this weird stage of my life where I'm 48. I've been in the ministry since I was 18 years old. January 1992, I started serving in my first church. So I'm in this weird stage where I've been coming up on 30 years of church ministry, and I feel like I'm being dragged by a car that's time, and I'm like, my heels are in the ground, and I'm like trying to slow it down. My oldest son turned 21 this last week. I was just like, he was 5 when the church started. I mean, I'm like, slow down. Worry takes time away from our life. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be praying. We're going to face problems. We're going to face trials. We're going to face stuff. And Christ says, do not be anxious. Do not worry. I've got this. You're my child. I love you. Come to me. Lay your burdens on me. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will take that burden from you. Seek me. Do not be anxious. He talks about the birds. Then he talks about the lilies and the grass. Look at verses 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If you've known me very long, you know I love to give illustrations from my personal experiences in the mountains. It's like my favorite place. That's where I would want to go, is to be in the mountains. And one of my favorite things on a long hike up a mountain is when you kind of come out into this field. It kind of flattens off for a little while, and that's awesome for when you're hiking because it's like flat for a few minutes, and you can kind of rest for a little bit. But you come out and you see this little field, and there's usually just a small trail that walks through the middle of it. And what's so beautiful about it is all these flowers, these wildflowers that are there, and everything has been untouched by humans except for that little narrow trail going through it. It's beautiful. It's breathtaking. And Christ is reminding us, if God can take care of an inanimate flower that neither toils nor spins, how much more will he care for us? His creation, formed in his image. Are you catching the beautiful truth in this passage? God loves you. He loves you. He created you. He created you for a relationship with him. He created you in his own image. If you have been saved by his amazing grace, you are his child. If you are a parent who loves your children, you know how much you love them. You can't really explain it to your kids, right? You love them so much. It's just amazing. And we're broken, we're sinful parents. And here's God, who's perfect and holy, who is love, divine love. How much does he love us? It's perfect love for his children. How much will he take care of it? How much more will he take care of us? If he's taking care of all the birds and all the flowers, all these little details, you are his child. Let us not be believers with little faith. We have a relationship with the God of the universe. A relationship. Not a religion. A relationship. I was reading this last week. I was in one of my quiet times, and it was just, I'm walking through the Gospels right now, and I just came to that point where Christ died on the cross, and the temple veil was just ripped. And I went farther into that, and then it's like they were like saying the veil was like wider than a hand. And that is thick. All these pieces sewn together, this thick, and it was massive, and it was just ripped from the top. I mean, that is an act of God, right? Someone didn't come in here with, you know, like a box knife and start, you know, slice. No, it was just ripped in half, symbolizing when Christ died on the cross, defeating death, symbolizing you as a child of God. You get to go into God's presence and have a relationship with him. He is your father. As Christ says, we pray, our Father in heaven, Abba, Father, Daddy. Let us not be believers with little faith. Let us instead take our focus off the stuff of this world and let our treasure be found in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us trust him to take care of us. Health and wealth will say, if you have enough faith, you will never experience anything bad and hard. That's just not true. Consider it good when you face trials. We don't like those verses, do we? that's why we're drawn to the health and wealth. We don't want to deal with problems. What Christ is saying, we live in a broken world. You're going to go through hard times, but you have me. I'll take care of you. And I will reveal myself in mighty ways in those hard times. And I will reveal myself in blessings and beautiful times and in the times that seem less hard. I've given you life and life abundant. Enjoy the relationship you have with Christ. Let us therefore not be anxious about our lives, what we will eat or what we will drink, what we will put on. And so what we know is truth is this: if we are holding tightly to the things of this world, there will be anxiety in our lives. If you are holding tightly to the stuff of this world and you think this stuff is going to bring you true happiness, there will be anxiety in your lives. Why? Because those things will always be destroyed. They won't last. If you think you're having the greatest next iPhone whatever is going to bring you happiness, it It is cool. I love tech. It is awesome. It is awesome until you're riding behind Josh on your bike and it flies off your bike handle and cracks. I mean, it's awesome until it breaks, right? Like, I finally got that car that I really wanted. I love cars. I just love cars. I think they're beautiful. And you drive them off a lot and it's like, boom, there goes the value. I mean, and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm in this car payment for 18 years, you know, whatever. I mean, that stuff is just, it's stuff. It breaks down. It you got to take care of. I mean, there's always anxiety in that stuff because it doesn't last. It's things of this earth. True peace, true joy, true happiness that will never end is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so our focus shifts from the temporary to the eternal. And that is where we find peace, because those things of Christ last. A relationship with Christ is eternal. It goes on forever. Heavenly treasures are eternal. And so again, we look at this passage and we see the truth that Christ brings and gives us. Like, do not be anxious. I've got you. You're my child. And so we come to the close of where we are today in this passage. And so again, I ask the question, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about my parents forced me to come to church every Sunday. I'm not talking about knowing a religion or I'm part of this denomination or all that stuff. No, do you know Jesus? Has he called you? Have you felt the calling on your life? And so I say, trust him today. Repent of your sin. Trust in him. Experience his grace, because when you do, you'll know it. Experience the truth of his word like I, for the first time really, at age 11, experienced the truth of God's word wash over me in a way I'd never experienced before, where God showed me my word is truth. It is active. It can bring peace. Call on him today. Don't wait. Know his peace. Believer, Christian, are you experiencing anxiety in your life? Constant worry? I beg you to look in the mirror. See where your eyes are focused. Are they focused on the things of this earth, or are they seeking Christ? Are you spending all this time seeking after this stuff and then worrying about this stuff? Are you spending time in God's word? Seeking him. Abiding in him. Investing in eternal things. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. In Christ, you will find true peace. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Again, it is powerful. It is alive. I know it's true. I know there are people here that know that it's true. I pray that there's someone here that is just filled with anxiety. They are feeling that call in their life. The Holy Spirit is saying, trust in Christ. I pray that they would call on the name of the Lord today. And for the believer, we struggle too. What happens is we drift. We take our eyes off of you. We get out of your word. We get out of meeting with the body of Christ. We kind of put ourselves out there, and we kind of just kind of leave everything, and we just start focusing on the world, and then all of a sudden we realize we are just in turmoil, and we have anxiety, and we have worry, and we don't know what to do. God, I pray for those believers that they would turn their eyes back to you. They would seek you and your word. They would experience the truth and the power of your word, and they would find the peace that you bring. That you bring that church, those burdens and those anxieties. That shines the light of truth, shines the light of hope in the gospel to this world. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.